Welcome to Oh No You Didn't. We watched this rubbish so you don't have to. This week, Urban Gothic, Season 1, Episode 1, Dead Meat. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Oh No You Didn't, where we review the worst ever in sci-fi, fantasy and television in general. This week we're covering Urban Gothic, Series 1, Episode 1, Dead Meat. So Shane, what are your initial thoughts on this?
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. To give a bit of background information on this before we actually get into the episode, it was made in 2000 by the last terrestrial television station here in the UK, Channel 5, which at the time was famous for its football and softcore porn.
So no change there then?
Yes, basically, yes.
Okay, so let's see, we open up the episode with a couple of teenagers ripping off a drug dealer. Now, in real life, I've actually known a person who ripped off a drug dealer, and let's face it, at this point, we all know there's only one way this story is going to end.
We're bullets.
Yep. But anyway, they achieve the miracle and manage to rip off the drug dealer. Which point, they head off down the road and have a nice, pleasant chat about our young male friend's new girlfriend.
Before we even go there... If you're going to rip off a drug dealer, usually the drug dealer himself would be chasing after you.
That's right. He might send several objects weighing roughly a quarter ounce made of lead chasing after you.
Yes. Yes. And they break into the building.
Yep.
By smashing a window.
Which, considering it was a dilapidated building to begin with, one thinks they could have probably found an easier access point.
Also, they've got drug lords running after them. Are they not going to hear a window being smashed?
Television logic. Which is
it's
somewhat subpar to a two-year-old's logic often, but and this is a definite example of that.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, you were saying, sorry.
We find out our young male friend's girlfriend is a bit of a goody-goody, at least by the standards of people who have just ripped off a drug dealer.
Mm.
Which sort of makes one wonder just how goody-goody she is. But anyway.
Yeah.
Our two friends then decide to go and visit the local library.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have a little... Apparently he's supposed to be a nerdy friend, but he doesn't look like anything like a nerd I've ever seen. But anyway, he's supposed to be a nerdy friend who is supposed to be an expert in necromancy.
Oh, you've missed a bit of where they actually found the dead body.
Oh, yes, sorry. They did find a dead body. Lurch is laying there dead in the hallway.
Yes.
Or Mr. Hom, whichever franchise you're young enough to remember.
And then that's where we meet their other young friend, who I believe was called Milton. Yeah.
I wonder if he's got a brother named Bradley.
Possibly. He goes from a dead body to let's raid this dead in about 25 seconds.
Yes. And really, what's here comes another criticism. What self-respecting goth girl screams when she sees a dead body?
Yeah, that is Gemma Rupert, who's most famous role to date is probably playing a lesbian ghost in the British version of Buffy called Hex.
Well, she's being dressed up to look like a British version of Emily, which is a genre film from the mid-90s. But I mean, I'll admit she's kind of cute, but in an odd sort of way. she's not quite as cute as they seem to think she is. At least not with this makeup and lighting. But anyway, our necromancer expert is an expert apparently because he can manage to get ancient documents, well, medieval documents, through the library exchange program.
Yes, I got a note on that one too, actually. They said it was written by John Dee, who was actually in the court of Queen Elizabeth II. However, that would actually make that document 500 years old.
Elizabeth I, I think we should say.
You're right, Elizabeth I, I do apologise. That piece of paper is 500 years old, so therefore it wouldn't be in the school library exchange programme.
No, that's... In fact, I've done a fair bit of work academically with history. To get an original document, you have to travel to the library that owns it. You have the librarian watching over your shoulder constantly with a fragile document that old, because a document that old is extremely fragile, and you're not allowed to touch it without gloves. It takes about 3 or 4 years to get it, to get access to it.
Yeah.
So... all reality is gone out the window already before we get anywhere near raising the dead.
Yes. And they say they want to raise the dead to find out what killed him. To kill our good friend Lurch. And no, I've just got in here. Why not ask the cops? Why didn't they just call... They found the dead body, that's called the cops.
Yep, which would also scare off the drug dealer who's chasing them.
Yes.
But, you know, logic. It's a terrible disease, according to movie people.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the word movie people, even though this is television, because this is movie logic.
Yeah. Do so, don't you take it?
To be honest with you, I prefer the necromancers in Heroes of Might and Magic. They're more convincing.
Yeah.
The computer game, even though that was deliberately designed to be as silly a world as they could possibly thought they could get away with. Let's see. After this, they have a discussion about they need a person who's pure of heart. For anyone who's ever writing a medieval or classical world story, pure of heart does not automatically equivalent to virgin.
And they automatically assume, because she hasn't slept with her current boyfriend, she's automatically a virgin.
Yeah. Once again, we've got TV land or movie logic. If you're not sleeping with every guy you've ever beaten in your life, then you're a virgin.
Yes.
But then if you've slept with one person in your entire life, you're a slut. Hmm. You can see why women get annoyed sometimes, can't you?
Yes, you can.
But anyway, we our intrepid explorers head back. Oh, first they have a discussion with our pure of heart virgin. Which, if she's pure of heart, one wonders why she's dating the bad boy. But anyway, that's more movie logic.
You've missed the frog in the blender.
Oh yes, my favourite scene. Not.
Yeah.
If he's really an expert necromancer, wouldn't he be able to bring the frog back?
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently that was subject to many complaints, which Shane will fill us in on now.
Yeah. Basically, the scene is they put a live frog in a blender and push the blender on. The five people complained to the then ITC, and this is their report. One of the group is obsessed by the occult, and as part of the fascination with black magic, he wishes to liquidize a live frog. The licensee explained that, although a live frog was put into the blender, it was replaced by two gherkins in a blood bag before the blender was wished on. In this context of the supernatural setting, the ITC considered that viewers would be unlikely to be influenced by this bizarre behavior. The drama was transmitted well after the 9 p.m. watershed, which very few children would like to be watching television.
There's a few problems with that decision. It's, First, I'm not convinced that the producer's telling the truth. Second, if they actually believe that no children are watching after 9 p.m., they're living in a fantasy world. And thirdly, the issue isn't really children watching. The issue is idiots watching the show, who tend to be adults.
I have to say, though, Darren, I actually got that scene in front of me. And if you start right the way down, you can actually see a jump in the camera move.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the story's slow enough as it is, so I didn't bother with that.
You can actually, there is a definite jump in the camera move, so you can actually see where they stopped the filming and restarted the filming, because someone moved the camera.
They needed Rocket from Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, we moved back to our warehouse.
Do you want to draw blood by holding a knife?
Yes.
And traditionally, when you want to cut something, you move a knife. You don't just hold it there.
That's true. I mean, I will give them that the really, really old swords and knives were kept so sharp that just grasping it probably would do the job, but it didn't really look like that ancient a knife to me. It looked pretty much like it was from a Star Trek convention from the Klingon sales tables.
Yeah.
And those things are usually rubber.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. So they raise the deck and they find demonic symbols.
Already I'm on Lurch's side.
Yes. And then he goes and kills the guy.
Yep, the
vampire style. Vampire style.
We got a really persistent drug dealer here. He actually plays around with beating her up rather than just killing her out of hand.
Yeah. Question. This is probably set, I would say the next day after the drug bust.
It would at least be. It would be at least hours, yes, but probably the next day.
Yeah. So how would he know where would the drug lord know where she is?
Or if he did know where she is, why wasn't he waiting inside for her to come back rather than waiting outside to see on the off chance?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, not even movie logic covers this. We're into fan fiction territory.
Yeah. I know.
And actually, that's a bit unfair on people who write fan fiction, because I have seen fan fiction that's just better than this.
Yeah. I know. So I will go into more details about this series when we finish this particular review. They find the young boy and his very, very legged girlfriend finds this temple.
Yep.
And he works out almost immediately what all those signs mean.
Yep, which either he's making it up on the spot or he's been there before.
Yeah.
That would be real logic, though, unfortunately, which is beyond the writer of this particular show.
Yeah.
But anyway, we come back up to Lurch having a feast, because after you've been woken up from a sleep by annoying teenagers, you always want something to eat. And I must admit, this was a reasonable shot. I didn't mind that shot. The guy playing the monster actually was doing a fairly good job.
Oh, no, I was going to ask, how did she die?
I'm assuming a neck snap. I know the pictures don't show that, but that's pretty much the only thing I could imagine from what they've shown.
Yeah. But yeah, just a bit of a question there.
Well, that's probably immaterial at this point. Maybe he was one of the sailors from the Armada.
Yeah.
I mean, Elizabeth did leave them to starve, so she didn't have to pay them after all.
Yeah.
Good old Queen Bess. But I mean, I'm being unfair, because most of those Middle Ages monarchs were a lot less nice than they're painted. And basically, you had to be. She had all of Europe arraigned against her at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was the only large state that was Protestant. I mean, a lot of the German cities were Protestant, but it was the only large state that was Protestant. I don't think Sweden had converted yet. But anyway, that's digressing into real history, which this show's got nothing to do with. Just a sec. Sorry, I've had a frog move into my throat and he won't budge.
No problem.
He's probably complaining about the sea. But anyway, as I said, I'm completely on Lurch's side at this point. There's nothing worse when you're trying to have a nap than having teenagers wake you up.
Yeah.
Particularly irritating teenagers like these.
Mm.
I have to say, for a show called Urban Gothic, none of the music cues were particularly gothic. I'm not in that age group, but I'm kind of fond of goth culture myself. I've had a couple of gothic girlfriends, and I don't remember them listening to anything like the pap that was on this show.
Yeah. So Mr. Lurch kills everybody, and in the very, very next scene, we see them all alive.
Yay.
Back in the library.
And they're annoying teenagers once again.
Yeah. Back in the library.
And just in case people are getting the wrong idea here, by profession, I'm a youth worker. I don't automatically find teenagers annoying. It's just this particular set of teenagers.
Yes.
And we actually get a... Just before we actually get to this scene, we've got our young fellow from the first scene and our young strawberry blonde who looks redhead in this lighting. And they show the level of quality of their programming by doing an upskirt shot, which is pretty much the point where I was ready to throw something through my computer monitor.
Yes.
I mean, she's a cute young lady, and she's obviously older than what she's being portrayed, but even so, in the story terms, she's underage, so let's leave the upskirt shots out of it, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, first of all, we don't see, but on off screen, we see the bookworm kid killing the teacher.
Ah, so yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's what the implication is anyway. That, you know, he's decided to kill the teacher.
Well, she was a pederast, so no great loss.
Yeah. And then we cut out back to the alley that we originally started in. And we find that they're all zombies.
Yes. And apparently zombies means you have white contact lenses in your eyes.
Yes.
So these guys needed to consult with Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
A comedy which did much better zombies than pretty much any zombie movie I've ever seen, to be honest.
Yep.
So I think that about covers this horrendous pile of horse crap.
Well, not quite, because we see Mr. Lurch again.
Oh, yes, he's the master of the zombies.
Yeah, waving them forward.
And this is actually the first interesting scene in the entire 30 minutes. Hmm. And we get close.
Yeah, so the question I have to ask is, are they now acolytes of him?
One would assume so, but
yeah.
You've informed me that they don't actually bother returning to this storyline, so...
Oh, they do, but not... But much, much later on, in episode 13. which unfortunately isn't on YouTube as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
So, but yeah. But that, yeah, that's where they end.
Well, I guess it's lucky for some.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, it's not... So, you've never seen this before? I have. What do you think?
Horrendous horse crap.
Is that it? You got nothing else?
No, that's pretty much the entire summary of the episode.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I come from the land of Neighbours and Home and Away, and I'm saying this is bad even by those standards.
Okay. Urban Gothic overall. I mean, we've just gone through in the past 20 odd minutes the first episode. For people who have never seen Urban Gothic before, there are amazing episodes out there, like the second episode, which is called Vampology, and there's another episode in season one called The Boys Club. And they are both superb episodes. If you go out, I would actually really suggest you go out your way onto YouTube and actually find them. They are pretty damn amazing.
I think I'll take your word for it. And just to clear something up, I'm not actually at any point claiming to be an expert in television, because I kind of gave it up a long time ago as a regular habit. I'm more coming at things from an outsider's perspective when we're doing the reviews.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of literature, especially medieval literature. I've read quite a few medieval stories. So that would be my take on this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, and we'll get into our ratings after in about 5-10 minutes after we play the ad. Overall, this is awful.
Yeah, it's just
there's so. I mean, I'm looking at my notes here. It's a solid of A4, just on plot holes and problems that I've got.
Well, really, our upskirt shot of the young girl shows that even the producer and the director thought there was nothing here to encourage people to come back.
Yeah.
They needed a bit of gratuitous flesh to hope people would come back for that. Which, given Big Brother's popularity, is probably not a bad bet.
Was there actually anything that you liked?
Just that final scene. The final scene, that sort of 10 seconds with Lurch on the balcony or the overpass bridge and them looking up at him was well shot. And
okay.
I think the guy playing Lurch did a good job playing a monster.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, there's nothing really here for me.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, we've done the review in double quick time. So, as we've done a short review, we're actually going to play this very, very long ad for our good friends over at Geek Planet Online. So, hit it, guys.
GeekPlanetOnline.com offers a variety of quality podcasts. The Babylon Project, reviewing science fiction's greatest televised novel, Babylon 5.
A 5,000-year-old Vorlon would not be interested in a fibrous one-seated droop.
Oh, bollocks to this, I'm going back to sanity.
The Black Dog, turning a reflective eye on the so-called best and worst in genre entertainment.
So hold on, let me get this straight. One of the most revered classics of 70s rebellious cinema, and you come up with Peter Boyle's bald.
Yes, Peter Boyle has always had that same hair.
The Borg Cast, the geek vicar and his lovely wife, take a look back at Star Trek The Next Generation.
Am I allowed to get anal about spaceships?
Okay, I'll drink my beer.
Chain Geek Action. Podcasters interviewing podcasters.
I thoroughly recommend everybody to quit your job and go become a booze person.
I wouldn't say that, but there's danger there. I mean, it's kind of sweet shop syndrome.
Cinematic Dramatic. Filling you in on the new releases in theatres.
Bourne Legacy, or have I now dubbed it the Bourne Trip to the Chemists?
I was going to call it The Born Lethargic. I mean, this film is dull.
A disappointment. Absurd comedy stylings from the clever mind of Danny Davis.
A rare recording of the former poet laureate Sir John Benihill reading a classic verse of his. I am being milked for reasons I cannot explain.
Hypnobobs, well-researched discussion, as well as readings from the Library of Dreams.
The figure turns half around, and the light falls upon the face. It is perfectly white, perfectly bloodless. The eyes look like polished tin.
The Inside Out cast, where geek meets goth.
One of my favorite riffs, of course, has to be from the song Short Dress, Long Jacket.
That would be
the theme from Chuck. Yep.
Yeah, no wonder that made it to your list.
Yes, sir.
The Irish Pub cast, geeky talk over a few pints.
Does the fact that these things are now such mainstream objects make y'all feel less special and outsidery?
Well, I never feel special and I always feel outsidery, so...
Mike and Ike's All-Star Summer Jamboree, the S-Jam, comedy bits, as well as reviews and interviews.
If life were like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, people would only have two big teeth.
They'd run with their arms in weird positions.
Cars and pets would have annoying voices.
And we'd be in charge of putting down pets and cars.
And we'll be back after this interview.
One More Go, video game discussion between hosts who are rubbish at video games.
A few years ago, I discovered my dad's playing Call of Duty.
You said about this, yeah.
Sci-fi, all things science fiction in little bite-sized portions.
In this time, mankind was reaching far into the stars above. But far from being the enlightening and empowering next evolutionary step for humanity, it instead powered the race backwards to a time of class war.
Shaken Blake, a longtime fan and a newbie, reviewing Blake's Seven.
If you come across an episode where A, they're playing a board game at the start, and B, Callie gets a bit of a headache, turn it off. Because no good will come of it.
And finally, Tangential Deviation. 99 minutes of raw, unedited, unfiltered, and uncensored talk about all things geeky.
He then decided the Predator had a West Country accent and kept doing his lines.
No, well, that's probably quite right. I'm hardly one to judge in that area. I recast all the birds from the birds as Carrie Grubb.
The GeekPlanetOnline.com podcasts. Something for everyone, no matter your geeky interests. Subscribe to one or all of these shows by visiting GeekPlanetOnline.com. Find them under podcast.
And welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Please check GeekPlanetOnline.com. I know it's a long ad, running over almost 5 minutes, but they are an amazing website, and they do a ton of great podcasts. As you heard, the broadcast... the Inside Out cast, etc. So, honestly, guys, please check them out. More news on Geek Planet Online in a second, actually. But, yeah. Before we do that, though, Darren, out of 10.
Zero.
Zero?
It was going to be minus until that last scene. Even though we have a rule against minus ratings, I was going to do it anyway.
Yeah, we do. I don't think you've ever put a minus in before. Even for the Twin Peaks one.
Yeah, well, that was sort of unintentionally funny in parts.
Okay.
I didn't say that on the review because it was unintentional and the producer didn't deserve the credit for it, but...
Okay. Okay. I just jumped your shrugs as well. I'm not gonna give it a zero, but I'm not also gonna give it a 0.4. I'm gonna give it higher than a 0.4, actually, which is my lowest rating so far. I'm actually gonna give it a 2. On that, only because of the frog blending scene, actually. now you're able to freeze frame it and that sort of stuff. You can see it's fake, but at the time it was one of those, out there.
It did look realistic, I'll give them that.
Yeah, exactly. 2.4 Children did exactly the same thing, actually. which was a 2.4 Children is actually a family sitcom.
Oh, okay.
And they did the same thing with Goldfish. But the problem with that, though, that went on at 8:30.
Huh.
I don't know if that actually got complaints or not, but yeah, they did the same.
I don't think I've ever seen that one before.
Yeah. But yeah. But what we're going to be reviewing next time? Next time it's Blake 7, The Web.
Ah, yes. Yeah, Blake 7 is actually... I think it's actually quite an entertaining show, to be honest, in spite of itself a lot of the time, but still. But we'll cover that next week when we come back.
We certainly would. We're going to have some amazing guests, actually. We're going to have the guys from Shaken Blake, which was actually a Blake 7 intro cast.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So we're going to have Ian and Dave on from that. And they're actually on Geek Planet Online. So you can see why we played the ad there.
Okay. But
thanks for that. I know it's a bit of a short episode this time around, guys, but there's only two of us. Hopefully we'll have a lot more discussion next time around when Ian and Dave join us. But for now, cheerio.
Bye-bye.